Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus said to his apostles, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace on the earth. I have come to bring not peace, but the sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's enemies will be those of one's household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me. Whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. Whoever receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. Whoever receives a righteous man because he is righteous will receive a righteous man's reward. Whoever gives only a cup of cold water to one of these little ones to drink because he is a disciple, amen, I say to you, will surely not lose his reward." When Jesus finished giving these commands to his 12 disciples, he went away from that place to teach and to preach in their town. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today we conclude 6 days of focus that Jesus has given to his first apostles in terms of how to go out and proclaim the gospel. Began last Tuesday when he taught everybody to pray to the harvest master, the laborers, and as they were praying, he chose the 12. And then he told them what to say to announce peace and to proclaim the coming of his kingdom. He described the packaging that they were supposed to proclaim trust in God's providence by not carrying a suitcase or a wallet or a pocketbook or other things to provide for themselves. He described how they would be accepted and rejected. And he instructed them what to do in those circumstances. He told them that they would be persecuted, in fact, by civil leaders, by religious leaders, even by their own family members. And when that were to occur, they were supposed to go to the next place, dusting off their feet so that they weren't carrying resentment with them when they were supposed to be proclaiming the gospel. But today Jesus comes to his dramatic conclusion of these instructions. And it summarizes everything within the context of this welcome or rejection. And it helps us not only to proclaim the gospel, knowing that some will welcome us and some will reject us, but it's a good litmus test for how well we receive what Jesus himself is doing. Do we really welcome or do we reject? In the last two daily masses, Saturday and last Friday, Jesus was saying we would be rejected by others. But today he describes something much more challenging. Describes being rejected even by family members. He had come to bring not peace, he said, but the sword, and a family would be divided. Dad against son, mom against daughter, daughter-in-law against mother-in-law, etc. One's enemies would even come from his own household. Now we know that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. When he was born, the angels proclaimed peace on earth. He said during the Last Supper, "My peace I give you, my peace I leave you." And when he was sending out his apostles at first, he was saying, offer peace to everybody. So Jesus is clearly bringing peace, but what does he mean here about the sword? When those of us make Jesus our number one, when we truly prioritize God above every other relation, what we discover is many of our family members get jealous. We see it over and over again. Parents who are faithful, when their son or daughter says, "I want to become a priest or religious," all of a sudden, they become the chief opponents. When we start to give the Lord time in prayer and adoration, when we start becoming a daily mass girl, when we start taking charity more seriously, Sometimes our family members who like to be in the number one spot get upset that we don't treat them like God. Sometimes that's sinful, sometimes it's just ordinary human jealousy, but it occurs, and we need to be ready for that. Jesus was preparing the apostles precisely for that. And that's why immediately after he says that there would be divided households, he says, but whoever loves dad or mom more than he loves me isn't worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever doesn't take up his cross each day and follow after me is not worthy. Jesus wanted us to be capable of suffering even from those closer, because the greatest way we could love our family members is giving witness to him. After that, he gives this whole summary of welcoming and rejection. He says, however, whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. One of the most important things we need to do is to be able to receive those that the Lord sends us. Certainly, we need to receive the Holy Father and bishops and priests and missionaries. But also sometimes he sends us people in disguise, poor people that he wants us to care for, people with questions about the faith, new friends. Our welcoming of them is likewise our welcoming of the Lord. But similarly, one of the most important reasons why the Lord sends us out to proclaim his gospel to others is when others receive us, they have the opportunity to receive the Lord as well. So we need to be capable of going on out to be welcomed by people, because in welcoming us, they're not just welcoming us. It's one of the chief aspects of the proclamation of faith today, to have the courage to be able to go on out so that others can welcome. We see in today's first reading with Pharaoh, a person rejected rather than welcomed. He didn't know Joseph. How is that possible? Joseph was one of the greatest figures in the history of Egypt. He saved Egypt from a famine. But this new Pharaoh was so self-centered that he didn't even pay attention to things on the outside. He wasn't paying attention to how much the Jews were doing to build up Egypt through their hard work. But he began in his paranoid way to fear them, and then he started to reject, to the very point that he started to abort and infanticide the male-born children. Something that's very much alive today in a culture of rejection that is promoted by the culture of death, when we can't even receive children that God has sent us in his name. Every other type of love is eroded when we're rejecting people at the beginning of life and all their helplessness. We see that ugliness of the rejection in Pharaoh. But we see on the flip side the way to welcome in today's great saint, Saint Bonaventure, a doctor of the church, the second real person in the history of the Franciscans after Saint Francis himself. Saint Bonaventure, as a young man, struggled with his sense of sinfulness. He couldn't really receive the Lord as the Lord wanted to be received, because he thought he was unworthy of the Lord, even though his future spiritual directors thought that he had never committed a mortal sin. He himself, all he saw when he looked at himself was his sinfulness, and that created an incapacity to really receive the Lord, because he wasn't open to his mercy. God blessed him, however, with his conversion, and thereafter he tried to teach the entire church how to welcome the Lord. His great spiritual work is called the Itinerarium in Mentis Deum, the itinerary of the mind into God. And in it, he shows us how to welcome the Lord. And we welcome the Lord not on our own terms. We welcome the Lord on his own. So we do it less by study and more by grace. We do it less by our reason, more by our will. We approach Jesus less as teacher and more as bridegroom. We find him more in darkness than we do in light. All counterintuitive. Because sometimes when we're approaching a new reality, we do it with strict categories, tiny little boxes, and God's so much bigger. And Bonaventure was opening our minds to that much bigger reality. And one of the things for which St. Bonaventure is most famous is a prayer he wrote for Thanksgiving, for after receiving Jesus in Holy Communion. It's called the Transfige. Transfix my heart, Lord, as we pray. We'll finish with this prayer of St. Bonaventure as we prepare to welcome Jesus as he deserves to be welcomed today. St. Bonaventure writes in this beautiful prayer, "Pierce, O most sweet Lord Jesus, my inmost soul, with the most joyous and helpful wound of your love and with true calm and most holy apostolic charity, that my soul may ever languish and melt with entire love and longing for you, may yearn for you and your dwelling, may long to be dissolved and to be with you. Grant that my soul may hunger after you, the bread of angels, the refreshment of holy souls, our daily and supersubstantial bread, having all sweetness and savor in every delightful taste. May my heart ever hunger after and feed upon you, whom the angels desire to look upon. May my inmost soul be filled with the sweetness of your savor. May it thirst for you, the fountain of life, the fountain of wisdom and knowledge, of eternal light, of pleasure, the fullness of the house of God. May it ever compass you, seek you, find you, run to you, come to you, meditate on you, speak of you, and do all for the praise of your glory of your name, with humility and discretion, love and delight, ease and affection, and perseverance. And be yours alone, ever my hope, my entire confidence, riches, delight, pleasure, joy, rest and tranquility, peace and sweetness, food and refreshment, refuge, help, wisdom, portion, my possession, my treasure, in whom may my mind and heart be ever fixed and firm and rooted immovably." What St. Bonaventure teaches us is that our welcome of the Lord begins with that hunger. Through his intercession, may the Lord grant us that hunger so that we might welcome him here and then go out into the world with confidence to be welcomed by others who will welcome him through us, and to be strong to suffer the ordinary rejections a true Christian inevitably will meet. Praise be Jesus Christ.